Welcome back, listeners, to Faith in Action. This is a show locally produced by Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm your host for today's show. And with me is Father Mark Stoll. He is a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City. And we've been talking about diocesan tribunals. We've really been focusing a lot on the whole aspect of what happens when a marriage needs a decree of nullity. And we have hit all the high points, I think, you know, the definition of a sacrament, the definition of marriage, the specifics of what happens when two people exchange vows. And now we've come to the point, I think, where an individual got the civil divorce and goes to church. And we, you know, is not excommunicated as long as he or she is not in a state of mortal sin, can receive communion, can actually serve as a lector, yes. Can distribute communion, yes. Usher, mm-hmm. Bring up the gifts, mm-hmm. Pour coffee at the parish breakfast, yeah, bus gotcha. Tables. Yep. There's really not much that individual can't do. Mm-hmm. What that individual cannot do, though, is remarry if they are in a what is considered a valid sacramental marriage.
That's correct.
So maybe we should first talk about an individual who, for whatever reason, got married by maybe a lawyer, a justice of the peace, in another church and did not get all the dispensations in place for whatever reason, and so now the civil divorce is over. They've kind of come back to church. They've stayed away from the sacraments because they know things have not been good. But now they think to themselves, you know, I think I want to get my life right. And so what happens if that individual picks up the phone and they would probably call the parish and say, hey, you know what? I got to get my life straight here. And this is my situation. So we'll use the first one, for example. I was married by a justice of the peace. It was kind of a, you know, a moment where we had a little too much to drink. We were in Las Vegas. Now I come home. Wow, that was a mistake. And so I get my civil divorce. And now I think I perhaps would like to start dating, maybe see if there's an individual out there who would be a good fit for me. What's the process?
You know, in any case, when it comes to annulments, the first thing anybody ought to be doing is pick up the phone and call their parish pastor. Because that's actually where the annulment process begins, in the parish. And I do know some people call, you know, pick up the phone and they'll call the tribunal. And our staff will say, you need to, you know, call your parish priest. And the parish priest, the pastor, whoever it might be, you know, may direct it, you know, may take the case himself or may, you know, delegate it to somebody else in the parish who is able to process that. And again, you know, basically I would sit down with the person and say, okay, tell me your story. What's going on? And if someone comes into me and says, yeah, you know, we went to Las Vegas and we got married, you know, by Elvis. and, you know, I'm Catholic. My spouse was not Catholic. You know, the first thing I would think is this is not a valid sacramental marriage because that person needed to follow the rules of the church, which exchange the vows in front of a priest or deacon. And so the process that we'd follow, we actually, it's called a documentary process. And basically all we have to do is collect documents. We collect the person's baptism certificate, we collect the civil marriage certificate, and we collect the divorce decree. We fill out an application, a petition, we call it, and properly sign it, and we send it to the tribunal. And that annulment would ask, it takes less than a month really to process because all we have to prove is one of those persons was Catholic and did not get married or do any of the proper procedures to be married validly. So that annulment process is actually very short. I mean, if I want to say, if you want to do it wrong the right way, yeah. Go to justice of peace because it only takes a month to do it. I do not recommend that again because, again, there's so many problems with those types of marriages. I mean, with the actual ceremony and the like, because I've actually heard people say, you know, it was nothing to it. They just stood in front of this guy and they just said their vows and that was it. And I was like, it was nothing. There's something significant about, you know, actually having that wedding take place in the church, you know, with the readings and the prayers and the music and the like. But again, so that's, you know, probably the simplest case is someone who's gone, like to a justice of the peace or a lawyer or whoever it might be, you know, a love boat with the captain of the boat did it. So,
absolutely. It gets a little more complicated, though, if it is a valid marriage. So yeah. One of the individuals is a baptized Catholic. Mm-hmm. Both individuals are baptized Catholics.
Right.
Or one of the individuals baptized Catholic. The other is baptized in another faith, right, but baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it becomes a little more complicated.
Right. And we should also point out, too, that in the eyes of the Catholic Church, too, if two Lutherans went to the Lutheran Church and got married, we would consider that a valid marriage, even though it wasn't done according to the Catholic rules, but they followed their church's rules, and so that's valid. And it's also interesting to note, even if two Lutherans went to the Justice of Peace and got married, we consider that a valid marriage because it's done in there. So then that gets into what we call a formal process, which can take longer. And again, the length of that may, you know, be 12 months, maybe a little longer. It all depends. And there's a lot of factors involved in that. But again, the bottom line is, no matter what situation you're in, call your priest first, and then he will help you get directed in the direction we need to go. And he will assist you in filling out the right paperwork and walking with you in the process. Because that's one of the things about marriage annulments, too, is that, you know, we don't put people on the journey by themselves. You know, the priest, you know, some in the parish will walk with the person to assist them through the process.
So what kinds of, just to back up, we kind of started all of this,
mm-hmm,
what kinds of elements would be in place, and we talked about it just briefly, that would perhaps make a sacramental marriage invalid?
Okay. And so, again, the church has a number of areas that we look at. And I'm just going to use one, what I call my famous one, and it's called force and fear. If at the wedding, and sometimes this can be very subtle, but I'm going to use a very, very clear one, that you say, you know, that was force and fear there. If someone is forced or has fear and is forced into marriage, it'd be invalid. Now, the best example, I say the best worst-case example of this is boy gets girl pregnant, girl's father holds shotgun to the back of boy's head and says, you're going to marry my daughter, and they exchange vows. Now, you know, we don't actually see that happen in the Catholic Church, thank God, but, you know, we're right there, we see the boy is being forced into something he does not want to do. You know, he may like the girl, you know, he may love the girl, but, you know, again, he was forced to make that, make those vows. And so, you know, if we go through a process of annulment and we are studying this case and we find out that's exactly what happened, they would say, oh, this is invalid marriage because the person was forced.
Okay. Then I think there's also the inability to make a commitment. A lot of times that happens because perhaps an individual is immature, just really doesn't understand the whole idea of commitment. And so a lot of times then throughout the married life, you see a distancing, that they're just not in it for that, the mm-hmm, intimate partnership of the whole of life, mm-hmm, that there's something amiss there.
Right. Yeah, and again, we have one canon that talks about three levels of that. Someone who is incapable of entering marriage, someone who has insufficient use of reason, or someone who has what we call grave defect of discretion of judgment. In all three cases, it's a psychological, something going on in someone's head, what's, you know, that they lack understanding for whatever reason it might be. And I think probably one kind of, again, good, bad example is someone who's alcoholic, you know, who's not in the right mind. And again, go back to the marriage, and if one of the parties is drunk while exchanging vows, even civil law would say that person's judgment is impaired. And so we see, again, that person's judgment is impaired, and so they cannot make a full consent. Keyword is full consent. They understand completely what they're doing. And if you're drunk, who knows what you're thinking at the time? And you may read the words, you may say the words, but you may have no idea what you're saying. So again, looking at that situation, again, it's every annulment is based on what happened at the time of the consent. So if the shotgun is the back of the person's head, that happened at the consent. If the person is drunk, for example, it happened at the consent. Now, we have to point out too that sometimes everything is hunky dory at the consent, but sometimes later on, all of a sudden someone develops something. You know, might be years later, 50 years later, all of a sudden they become alcoholic. They have never touched a drink in their life, but they were fully consent, you know, fully capable at that time of the marriage. So again, you know, it's, you know, in those cases, you know, that marriage still be valid. But again, if the person is alcoholic at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the real roles of the tribunal is to look at, you know, what was the history of this person? Did they have a tendency even before the wedding, even before the courtship? And we look at and say, oh, you know, this person, you know, was drinking a lot during the courtship, even before then and throughout the courtship and throughout the engagement. And yeah, he was drunk at the wedding.
Sure.
Now, completely honest, not every case is as clear as that. That's why such due diligence is done at the tribunal, just to look at, you know, try to overturn every stone possible. It's like, you know, is there any possibility here of it? And again, we have to be realistic that some marriages are declared valid and others are invalid if we do find those extenuating circumstances at the time of the consent.
So much more to talk about because this is complicated. It is not easy and straightforward. And we know, listeners, that you're paying attention because it's rare to have friends, family, loved ones, you name it, who have somehow had to go through the pain of a civil divorce and try to figure out, you know, where their life is going after that, especially mm-hmm. if they're thinking to themselves they want to get right, you know, with their lives or they want to remarry. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a short break to give a shout out again to our sponsors and underwriters. This show is Faith in Action. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host. So you stay tuned because we will be right back.